how great is the sum of them. Now, this is really an amazing passage in Psalm 139 where God describes in great detail, and obviously David is the one speaking, but every time the Bible quotes the book of Psalms or any other book in the Old Testament into the New Testament, you know, God makes it clear over and over again that it's God's Word. And over again he uses the phrase that the Holy Ghost spake by the mouth of David the prophet. Or that the Holy Ghost spake, and then he'll quote the Old Testament or the book of Psalms. So this is God's Word, even though it's from David's perspective. And God is explaining to us how that even when David was in his mother's womb, the Bible says that he was formed and fashioned by God. He says he was fearfully and wonderfully made. And he says in verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. The word unperfect means incomplete. And he was still being fashioned. And the Bible says, and in thy book, all my members were written. He's referring to his body parts. He says, all my members were written in thy book, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So what the Bible is explaining here is that when a child is developing in his mother's womb, it's not as if God just kind of starts the ball rolling. You know, it's not that he reaches down and creates that spark of life and then just kind of walks away and just lets it develop. The Bible actually says that our members or our body parts, when we're in our mother's womb, are fashioned in continuance. That means there's a continual process of God forming and fashioning our members and making us the way that we are and creating us for who we are. And David is just marveling at this, saying, wow, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It's amazing the care and precision that went into forming me and making me the person that I am. And then he also says in verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. He's saying it's amazing that God would even take the time and put that much thought into one person. Think about the fact that there are 7 billion people upon this planet. And not only that, there have been all kinds of other millions and millions of people who've lived throughout history. And each one of them, God created and formed and fashioned with the same care and precision that he spent creating David. God is not a respecter of persons. He didn't just form and fashion one, and then everybody else just, whoops, you know, however they came out is how they came out. No, God created each person the way that they are. He said, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. And there are so many billions of people in this world, and yet each one of them, God has so many thoughts toward them that those thoughts could not be numbered, and if they could, they would number the grains of sand that are upon the seashore. It's really an amazing passage. There's so much here. We could talk about it on and on. But what I want to preach about today is how people are so obsessed with their appearance and the way that they look. And often they don't like the way they look, or they do like the way that they look, and people are so focused on that. And I've noticed that our society puts great emphasis on the way people look. And basically, if you don't look up to a certain standard, then basically there's something wrong with you, or you need to change that, or people are really upset about the way that they look. And especially ladies, obviously, or, you know. Now, I'm sure men struggle with this too in their own way. Maybe it's more of a ladies thing. I don't know. But honestly, I remember when I was growing up, for example, and if you would turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. When I was growing up, I was very short. Now, I'm not short right now. Right now, I'm 5 foot 11 inches, which is probably just your average white man height. And so I don't have any issues about my height at this time. I'm just a totally average height, maybe even slightly on the tall side, being 5'11", I don't know. But when I was a child, I was very short. Now, you may not believe that, but I was very short when I was growing up. Now, first of all, I started school early. I started kindergarten when I was 4. That didn't help either, because I was already short, and then I was a year younger than everybody, so I was really short. But even once my mom held me back and got me on the same par with everybody else, I was really short. In fact, if you look at my class pictures, everybody's taller than me, except there are three of us that are short. It's me and a Filipino and a Hispanic kid. And the three of us were just really short. And we're all the exact same height. And then everyone else towered above us. And I hated being short. And it bugged me my whole life. It wasn't until I was a teenager that I caught up. And once I was a teenager, I caught up with everybody else. I was a normal height. But when I was in, you know, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, and, you know, I get teased about, you know, shorty and whatever, you know, being made fun of for being small. Shrimp was the main thing that I was called. Shrimp. Now, that's not a nickname. That's not a nickname that you want to grow up being called shrimp, okay? But that's what I was called, you know, and I hated being short. And I didn't like being short. And, you know, I eventually became a normal height. But, you see, honestly, I believe that there's a reason why God made me short. Now, I don't know what that reason is. But perhaps it kept me out of a certain crowd I wasn't supposed to be in because I was ridiculed and called shrimp, you know, by certain groups. Maybe if I had been taller, maybe I would have ended up in the wrong crowd. Maybe I would have ended up in the wrong group. You know, God knew what He was doing when He made me the way that He made me. That's what I'm saying. Amen. And maybe it just kept me humble. Maybe if I had not been short, maybe I would have gone around and thought that I was so cool. You know, if everything was going my way. I mean, if everything just worked out for me and I just had just the looks and the physical athletic ability and I had the brains and I had just everything going my way. You know, I wouldn't have been a humble person. I'd probably be lifted up with pride. And that's why God caused me to maybe be short growing up. So that I could understand what it is to be made fun of, perhaps. Maybe that was preparing me for something called pastoring a Baptist church. You know, getting used to being ridiculed and despised. You know, you don't know why. I'm not pretending to know all the reasons why. But I believe that there's a reason why God made me to be short at that age. And I thank God for it and I'm glad for it. Now, I wasn't glad for it at the time. But you know what? I thank God for it because it made me who I am. And God obviously had a reason for having me created the way that I was and perhaps to know what it is to be on the to be an outsider or perhaps to know what it is to be made fun of or whatever so that I would not make fun of people or hurt people's feelings because I knew what it was to go through. I don't know. But the bottom line is God made me that way. It wasn't an accident that that's how it worked out. God had a reason for doing that, and I thank Him for it, because I'm sure that it was something for my benefit. And, you know, obviously that's not the only problem I've ever had in my life. You know, there have been other issues or things that I didn't like. But the bottom line is, you may not be short. Maybe for you it was just the fact that you were tall or whatever. You know, everybody has issues with the way that they've been made sometimes. People want to, you know, they have brown hair, they want to dye it blonde. And they have blonde hair, they want to dye it brown. Okay? And people who have curly hair, they go out and straighten it. And then those who have straight hair go out and curl their hair. And if you talk to those who have curly hair, they say, oh, I hate this curly hair, I wish it was straight. And every straight-haired girl wishes that she had curly hair. You know, and people just need to understand that God made us the way that we are for a reason. Now, the world and Hollywood basically sets forth a certain standard that everyone is supposed to look up, live up to, and basically this is what you're supposed to look like according to Hollywood. And of course, it's a certain look. You know, it's a certain Los Angeles, California, maybe, you know, a really skinny girl and you know, blonde hair and maybe a certain fashion of clothing, a certain style, a certain look, a certain makeup that Hollywood and the world sets forth and says, this is what's beautiful, this is what's attractive. But really, that's not what the Bible says. And I don't believe that God is that limited that just one thing is attractive. You know, God created 7 billion people in this world and they don't all look the same. Some are tall, some are short. Some are white, and some are black, and some are every shade in between. Some have, you know, slanty eyes, and some have round eyes. Some have brown hair, some have red hair, some have blonde hair. You know, God created people who look all different ways. Is it just a certain small percentage of people that look the way they're supposed to look? That look good? You know, about 5% of people look good, and the other 95% are just a big mistake. That, you know, something went wrong at the around the second trimester or whatever in the womb. No, God created us to look the way that we look. Now look, you can take a look at me and decide whether you like the way I look or don't like it. It doesn't really matter. This is how God created me to look. This is who God made me. And if you look in the mirror, that's who you are. That's who you were created. Now, wishing that you looked like someone else is ridiculous. Because if God wanted you to look like someone else, He would have made you to look like somebody else. And if He wanted you to have brown hair, He would have given you brown hair. And if He wanted you to have blonde hair, He would have given you blonde hair. And if He wanted you to have curly hair, He would have given you curly hair. Why don't you just accept who God made you and realize that God made you that way for a purpose? That's what I believe. Now look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. The Bible says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also He hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from beginning to end. So the Bible says God has made everything beautiful in His time. Now when God created the whole planet and everything in it, He looked upon everything which He had made and He said it was very good. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 139 that He made us. So He made us good. So the way that we look is good. We don't have to worry about it and say, oh, I don't know. You know, I don't like my nose. I don't like the way my nose is. Or I don't like the way my ears are. Or I don't like the way my eyes are. You know, that's the way God made you. And just because you don't look like someone else, you're not supposed to look like someone else. Then everyone would look the same. And that's not what God designed. God designed people to look differently. And not to all look the same way. Everyone does not have the same body. Everyone does not have the same face. God has made us all different. Now, perhaps there's a reason for the way that you look that you don't understand. Go to Isaiah chapter 3, by the way. Isaiah chapter number 3. Like, for example, you know, I'm sure there were a lot of reasons why I was short and then became a normal height. But there could be reasons. For example, I knew a guy and he was short, and when he was an adult, he ended up short though. He never grew out of that, okay? And he hated being short his whole life, and then he met his wife and she was like 4'11" or something. You know? So maybe God caused him to be short so that he would meet her and they could be a happy little couple there, you know what I mean? The right height. And he even said that. He said, you know, once I met my wife, he said, then I was glad I was short. Because if I would have been really tall, you know, things might not have worked out, or I might not have felt comfortable, approaching her and so forth. And so things happen the way that they are for a reason. Not everybody has to look the same. Not everybody is designed to be tall. You know, I don't go around wishing that I were Brother Garrett, you know, because he's, what, several inches taller than me? You know, and I don't go around wishing that I look different than I did. Now, when I was a child, when I was a teenager, you know, I just had the wisdom of a teenager, which is nil, okay, which is nothing. You know nothing. No, but when I was a teenager, I didn't have a lot of wisdom. And, you know, I used to bleach my hair blonde. And I would dye my hair all different colors. And I had my hair bleached so many times. I think I bleached my hair like 40 or 50 times in my life. I mean, you know, that was kind of the thing to do. And I was bleaching my hair. And I was dyeing it all different colors. And I was trying to make it look cool and everything like that. But see, that's childish. That's foolish. That's ridiculous. You know, when I became a man, I just cut off all my hair. And just made it a normal short haircut that I don't have to worry about. So I could go out and work and do something with my life. And not sit in front of a mirror, you know, putting gel and hairspray and whatever into my hair. Trying to make my hair look a certain way. Now I understand that ladies put a little more into their appearance than men. That's all fine and dandy. But there's so many more important things in life than worrying about, stressing about, and fretting about the way that you look. Now look at Isaiah chapter 3 verse 16. Here's a bad example of women who were too obsessed with the way that they looked. And they were too full of themselves. And the word that we often use is the word vain. Have you ever heard people say that woman is very vain? It means that she cares way too much about her appearance. And the reason that the word vain is used is because the word vain means meaningless, worthless. And And so what it's saying is that she's wasting her time on her appearance. And it's because of pride. See, obsessing about your appearance comes from pride and thinking, you know, well, it's so important how I look because everybody's looking at me. But when you're a humble person, you realize people aren't looking at you. They don't care that much about you because you're not that important to everybody around you. Everybody's, oh, you know, you're not Princess Diana or something where everybody's just so worried about the way you look all the time. I mean, honestly, how many times, you know, you go out of the house and you're having a bad hair day, but probably nobody even noticed. They're so worried about their hair day, they didn't even pay any attention to it. You know, you're worried about a blemish, you're worried about your hair day, you're worried about your clothes are a little wrinkled. Probably nobody even noticed that. But look at these women in Isaiah 3:16. It says, "Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty," and haughty means prideful and arrogant, and they think that they're really cool. It says, "Because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks." Now you can just picture that, can't you? Sticking your neck, you know, stretching out your neck. Oh, hey, look at me. "They walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet." I mean, isn't this a great image of just sticking your neck out there, making a little tinkling with your feet when you walk? And it says, "Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet." So this is some kind of a little dangling, jingling thing that they wore on their feet for some reason. "And he said, their calls and their round tires like the moon." What is the round tires like the moon? Is that talking about the tires on their car or what? But anyway, I don't know what that means. Does anybody know what that means?
You wore tires.
I mean, they're round tires like the moon. I don't know. I don't know what this is, but the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers. See, some of these do sound like car parts, don't they? Okay, wait a minute. We got the tires. We got the muffler. What, you know, what's next here? He said the chains, the bracelets, the mufflers, the bonnets. I know what that is. You know, a hat and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets. That's the iPad too, and the earrings. No, I'm just kidding. The rings and, well, don't forget the nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel, and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins. Now I don't know what a wimple is, but I'm assuming a crisping pin is probably like a curling iron, if you think about it. I think I did some really deep, you know, into the Hebrew study one time, and I figured that out, that's what the crisping pin was. It was like a curling iron. Because if you think about it, you take a curling iron and curl your hair, it gets crispy, right? So it's like a long pin that's hot, and it's a crisping pin. I'm pretty sure that's what that means. He says the crisping pins, the glasses, and the fine linen, and the hoods, and the veils. "And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink. And instead of a girdle, a rent. And instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth. And burning instead of beauty." And what God's explaining here about these women in this passage, if you read the whole chapter, is he's basically talking about women who are not living for God. They're not serving God. They're not obeying God. They don't care about God. But what they really care about is the way that they look. And they're really into their appearance. And they're really puffed up. And they think they look so great. And they just have so many ornaments. I mean, between the leg ornaments and the wimples and the crisping pins, the bonnets, the veils, the hoods, the jingling, tinkling foot ornaments, the nose jewel, the earrings, the tires on their head or whatever that means. They're so into their appearance and they forgot to deal with what's on the inside is what's going on here. And it's all vanity. And God says it's not beautiful. And he said, "I'm going to take away your beauty from you because it's vanity, it's meaningless." You see, we ought to spend more time on the way we look on the inside than on the way that we look on the outside. The Bible says, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. And you know, you can wake up in the morning, men or ladies, and stand in front of that mirror. And especially the ladies, you know, you could stand there for 2 hours in front of that mirror. And you could sit there and primp and preen and prep and do everything to make yourself look nicer. But did you read your Bible? Did you pray? Because that would honestly do more for you. Because see, the Bible says in Proverbs 31:30, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible reads, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. God said it's way more important than having favor and beauty. Favor means that other people like the way that you look. That's what favor means. Now, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Have you ever heard that statement before? Have you ever heard this statement? A face that only a mother could love. Why? Because no mother looks at their baby and says, this is an ugly baby. Now, there's a famous story about my grandma. She, I don't know if she would like me telling this story. Well, she tells the story all the time, so it must be okay. But she's 90 years old. But my grandma, when she gave birth to her first baby, Anita, she was brought to her. And back in those days, they did some really strange things with childbirth. They would actually put women completely under, totally unconscious. So she was put completely under, totally unconscious, while they delivered the baby. Of course, they don't do any strange things now. But anyway, they put her totally unconscious, and she gave birth to the baby unconscious. And they brought her the baby and said, this is your baby, congratulations. And she said, no, that's not my baby. She said, my baby would be beautiful. This baby is ugly. This is not my baby. And she did not like the way that baby looked. But you see, babies when they're first born, sometimes they don't look that great until maybe about 24 hours go by. Because, you know, birth is traumatic and so forth. But no mother, except for my grandma that one time, you know. And here's the thing. Obviously, after she realized, okay, this is what newborns look like. They've just been jammed through a birth canal, you know. It'll look better a day from now. You know, nobody looks at their own child and says, this is an ugly baby. You know, when it's 3 months old, when it's 6 months old. What, you know, my other five kids look great. I don't know why I ended up with this ugly baby. And look, even if other people would look at that child and say, hey, it's ugly or whatever, they're not going to think that because it's their child. Why? Because they love it, right? They love their own child. And to me, I look at my children. I think my children are the cutest children. I mean, I think that they are the most beautiful children. And good-looking children. You know, I look at other people's kids, and they look okay. But, you know, when I compare it to my own children, I think, well, my kids just look a lot better than everybody else's kids. But here's the thing. They're thinking the same thing. They're looking at my kids, thinking, okay, Pastor Anderson's kids are okay, but my kids are just marvelous the way that they look. Because beauty is in the eye of the beholder, that's why. Not everybody has the same taste either. Some people think one thing looks great, and other people might look at that and say, I don't like the way that looks. You know, some people might look at one person and say, wow, isn't she beautiful? And then somebody else might think, not really, you know, and then they have a completely different taste in what they like. Because beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It's not like there's just one universal, this is what beauty is. You know, if you're there, great. Everybody else, tough, you know, and in varying degrees of toughness, how far away you are from that standard, exact, perfect height and weight and shape and look and appearance. There is no right way to look, is what I'm saying. When it comes to your physical appearance of what you've been created. It's just how God made you. And as we look at our children and we like the way that they look, you know, God looks down upon us as His children and He is proud of us and He likes the way that we look and He doesn't think, you know, what did I do wrong on this one? You know, when I made this one, I was asleep at the wheel. No, every child is made the way that he made it, and that's the way that we are. And so, you know, maybe you're taller than you'd like to be. There are people that are taller than they'd like to be. There are people who are shorter than they'd like to be. Other people are wishing that they had your height, okay? And they don't like being short. And also, you know, weight is an issue that people obsess over. Now, first, obviously, there is a situation where a person can gorge themselves with Little Debbie's and McDonald's and snacks and become overweight and become obese. But the thing is, though, sometimes people are just designed to look a little bit different than one another. And not every person is designed to be a really skinny person. Now, Hollywood shows a bunch of anorexic women, and I go to the store and I see the models sometimes, their knees are bigger than their thighs, and that's just not normal. You know, when your knee is bigger than your thigh, you know, that is not the ideal look that I'm going for. Now, if God made you that way, that's fine, okay? But honestly, I'm looking at these models and I'm thinking to myself, you know, why is this is the picture of just the ultimate in beauty? And what do they see? You know, I'm at the store yesterday, and there's all the, I'm just noticing all the models that are up and all the advertisements everywhere, and it's all these women with these really mean faces, and they're caked in makeup, and they're like, you know what I mean? They make like this, like, I don't know if it's supposed to be like a bad girl look or something, but they have just like the meanest faces. And sometimes even like a scary face, like a horror movie or something. And some of these, okay, I was in a pharmacy, and that's why it was so weird. You know, I was in a drugstore, and it was like, I walked down the makeup aisle, and just all these scary, insect-like women's faces frowning and glaring at me. And I'm saying to myself, this is not beauty. This is not attractive. Okay? And you know, all kinds of knees that are bigger than thighs and everything. I'm just like, ah! You know? So, what I'm saying is that the world puts out this image. And today, literally, I mean, you hardly ever meet in your life a woman that's just okay with the way that they look and just eats a normal meal. And just, you know, it's just like, it's either one extreme or the other, it seems like. You know, and my belief is this. My belief, and you know, I've preached whole sermons about what the Bible says about eating and food and diet and everything. I've preached whole sermons on that before. But honestly, what I firmly believe about myself and anyone else is just, if you just eat a nutritious diet of just normal food, a well-balanced diet, and not starve yourself and not just gorge yourself and not eat junk food, but eat healthy, real, home-cooked foods, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to look the way that God intended you to look. And for some people, that's going to be a lot thinner, and some people are just a little more heavy set, and that's just the way that God made them. We don't all need to strive to be anorexic and skinny and bony. That is not what I'm striving for in my life. I'm not trying to bulk up. I honestly just want to eat a healthy diet, get a healthy amount of exercise, and just be the shape that God made me to be. I'm not a monstrous hulk of a person. I'm never going to be. And I'm not trying to be skinny and wear little skinny jeans and do that thing. I just want to be who God made me, and I'm just not that into my appearance. And I don't think you should be either, because the Bible never tells us be into your appearance. He tells us that the favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Beauty is not important to God. He said beauty is vain. He said favor is deceitful. Because what other people say looks good can sometimes be deceitful. It's not actually what looks good in every case. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I was growing up, you know, as a teenager, and you know, when you're a teenage boy, you start turning a glance to the opposite gender, you know, at that age, and you start to think about the fact, hey, you know, I'm going to get married someday. You know, I'm sorry, I was never even attracted to these ultra skinny girls, you know? Now, maybe there's another guy who is. And I'm not saying it's bad to be really skinny. And I'm not saying it's bad to be a little bit heavy set. What I'm saying is that everybody's different. So don't let Hollywood brainwash you that you have to be a certain way and that you have to look a certain way. Because some guys want a woman to look a certain way, and some guys, you know. So just because you look the way that you do, you can't just think, well, no guy's ever going to like me if I don't, you know, starve myself and go on all these extreme diets where I eat ice for breakfast, ice for lunch, and a sensible dinner. You know what I mean? And I've seen people do this. I've seen people literally eat a meal of ice. Because they're just so concerned that they're going to gain weight. And they're just, I'll just have ice. That's not food, okay? I know it's hard and you chew it up and swallow it, but it's not food. It's water, okay? And honestly, I've seen this one lady who, somebody made a remark to her. Somebody kind of made fun of her for being a little overweight, you know, which they shouldn't have done that. Because a lot of times, you know, you be careful about the things that we say to people because it can hurt people's feelings and cause them to have even more issues than they already have from our society brainwashing them. But this lady, somebody made an issue about her weight, and she went on a diet where she just cut out all fat. Just zero fat diet. And her hair started falling out. Because of the fact that if you don't eat fat, your hair will start to fall out because your body needs fat. Mm-hmm. Fat is an important part of your diet. And if you're not getting fat, you know, if you're not eating fat, then you're missing important nutrition, folks. You know, you've got to have a balanced diet. And so, look, yes, there are people who have overeaten and they've overgorged. And it's usually not how much they ate as much as what they ate, okay? Yes, there are people who've got too much weight. Yes, there are people who are under-eating. But look, a lot of times it's just that God made people different and that everybody's not all skinny. Some people are thinner, some people are thicker. That's just the way God made them. So don't just get obsessed with it and just get up every morning and, I'm up a quarter pound. I'm down a quarter pound. I'm an eighth of a pound. It's like, is the scale even that accurate? I'm 3/4 of a pound up today. Now, it's funny, I weighed myself. I don't weigh myself for years on end because I don't really care. It doesn't really matter. I just try to eat right and whatever. But I've weighed myself sometimes because I was weighing myself just in regard to sport. You know, sometimes in sports, you need to get a weight on yourself because, you know, it depends on who you're going to be fighting or who you're going to be matched up against in sports. And so, I've weighed myself before, thinking about boxing matches and so forth. And it's interesting because I will weigh myself one day and then, you know, eat a ton of food. And then the next day I'm like 5 pounds lighter. And then I would not eat that much. And then the next day I gain like 3 pounds. And I'm like, man, if I were a woman and I cared about this, I'd be ready to commit suicide or something. It's like a roller coaster. And I'm like, this is dumb. This thing is stupid. It doesn't even make any sense. Like every day, it's just up 3, down 5. I'm like, this can't be real. I'm eating the same thing every day, and it's all over the place. You know, because it's probably just you shed a little more water. I probably just ran a lot and sweat a lot, or something. I don't know what it means. I'm not that worried about it. You know, you need to just put away the scale and just replace it with a Bible, and just say, you know what? I'm going to get up in the morning and just check my spiritual weight. I'm going to see how much, you know, because it's so much more important reading the Bible than your physical body and the way that you look. Amen. You know, and we ought not get caught up in the worldliness where it's just everything's about the way that I look and I'm going to spend tons of money. And it's so weird today. I was in Los Angeles. It's always Los Angeles. I don't know. But I was in Los Angeles and I was sitting in a waiting room waiting for something. And I picked up a little magazine. It was like the local magazine about the town that I was in. And it was all about where the parks were and where the activities were for the kids. So I was looking through it and every other page was a plastic surgery ad. I'm like, how can they be buying all these ads? People must be using this stuff. Or else they wouldn't be spending all this money on these ads. It was just like plastic surgery, plastic surgery, plastic surgery. I mean, how bizarre is it to actually go in and have surgery done? To change the way that you look. You know, get over, that is pride. Get over it. God made you the way you are. Just be happy with who you are. And look, throughout history, you know, those who were very pale and white complected, they thought that was great. And they would stay out of the sun and hold an umbrella over it in the daytime to see how white they could be. But then today, it's like, oh, man, I'm so white, I got to get a tan. This is horrible. And then they go pay to lay in a box that's baking them with rays of fake tan. And then they spray on a fake tan and they go lay out in the sun to try to get a tan. And then others are trying to see how white they can be. Look, it's ridiculous. And we ought not get caught up in it. The Bible says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Plus, what the world says looks good isn't always what the Bible says looks good. For example, people who have gray hair, they get older, their hair begins to turn gray. And so what do? They got to run out and dye their hair. And dye it brown, and dye their hair blonde, and dye it and everything to make it not look gray, so that they can stay young. But you see, that's part of life. God is the one who's making your hair turn gray. Because it's a part of life. You start out young, and over time you get older. And when you're 40, you're not going to have the exact same body that you have when you're 20. And when you're 60, you're not going to be like you were when you were 40. And your hair is going to turn gray, and perhaps your hair is going to fall out. That is what God has designed for your life to be. He says this in Proverbs 20:29. You don't have to turn there. The glory of young men is their strength. Listen to this. And the beauty of old men is the gray head. So God says that a gray head is a beautiful thing on a man. But the world will tell you, oh, you need just for men. You need to dye that. You need to make that look different. You know, you need to get rid of that gray hair. And I've always told the ladies in my life, you know, why don't you know my mother, my sister? I always tell them, you know, just let it go natural about their hair. I always just told them, just let it go natural. And it's funny, I preached a sermon on this topic one time. And my sister said, well, I knew you were preaching on that. I knew you were talking about that. So she said, I dyed my hair right before I listened to the sermon. Because she said, I knew after I listened to that sermon, I probably wouldn't dye my hair. So I dyed it first. Then I listened to the sermon. But it's funny because she, you know, because her hair was starting to go gray. And, you know, she then she let it grow out. And then the gray hair started to go away. It started coming back color again. It was like a miracle. And I don't know. My wife had a scientific explanation of why her hair started to turn brown again. But I say it's a miracle. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, it's not a miracle. But anyway, you don't know what's going to happen. And honestly, I just told her, I said, it looks great. Just let it grow. Let it be gray. Let it just be real. Be who you are. Let it grow out. Let it be gray. Let it be what it is. Male or female. You know, it's a crown of, the Bible says, the hoary head, hoary means gray or light gray. The hoary head, H-O-A-R-Y, it's a light gray. The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. So instead of trying to look younger than you really are, just be proud to be your age. And wear it as a crown of glory. Wear it as a badge that you've gotten to that point in life. And not only that, but this, go to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. And by the way, the Bible says, judge not after the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So we shouldn't just look at the appearance and make all of our judgments based on someone's appearance. We should care about people for who they are on the inside, not for what they look like on the outside. It's what's on the inside that counts. Look at Psalm 96, verse 9. The Bible reads, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. And this is a term that you'll see over and over in the Bible. I just gave you one verse for an example. The beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness. So according to the Bible, over and over again, holiness is what God considers to be a beautiful thing. Holiness. So, when the world shows you an image of the girl in short shorts, I mean, would anybody argue that that's holiness? You know, a girl in a bikini on a billboard, is that holiness? Now, obviously, the flesh thinks that's beautiful, but you know what? In God's eyes, it's sin, and it's not beautiful. It's ungodly. And what God considers beautiful is not a woman who's dressed in immodest apparel and sleazy, worldly fashions of the world that are exposing her body. The Bible teaches that holiness is what's beautiful. So if you're a lady that wants to look beautiful, and you want to look beautiful predominantly in God's eyes, and also in the eyes of those who are godly, and in the eyes of those who are living a holy life, it's going to be a holy appearance. Because the Bible says there's a beauty of holiness. And so when you're dressed in modest clothing, that is what God considers beautiful. That's what God respects. And so you look a lot better wearing a long, modest, flowing skirt and clothing that is not revealing, not the low-cut top, not the tight-fitting clothes. You know, when you're dressed the way a godly, righteous lady should dress, that has a certain beauty about it. And it's not the type of beauty that's causing people's flesh to lust. It's the beauty that actually brings you respect. Amen. You know, my wife, when she walks into a business, they treat her very well, I've noticed. They treat her a lot better than they treat me, I'll tell you right now. And I'm constantly telling her, honey, you know, if there's ever anything where we need to return something, and there's a little bit of a questionable nature about it or something, I always just say, honey, you need to do this. Because if I go in there, they're going to tell me to hit the road, they're going to tell me no, they're not going to give me my money back. But if I send her in, they'll give her two of them for free, you know? Honestly, she gets everything for free. Amen. And I always say to her, I say, honey, when you look the way you do, you write your own ticket in life, you know? And, you know, honestly, she walks in and gets treated well. And you know what part of the reason why she walks in and is treated well is because of the way that she looks? Because she dresses nicely and decently and modestly, and people look at that and they respect that. Now, people will make fun of it, but you know why they make fun of it? Just because they're insecure about the way they look. Because the proof is in the pudding. People respect you when you dress in a decent, modest way. And when you dress in a loose, inappropriate way, people lose respect for you. Even worldly people. Even people that aren't even saved. Even people who don't care anything about what's right and wrong, when they look at a woman that is dressed modestly and decently and in a feminine, godly manner, they respect that woman more than the one who just walks in and is dressed like a hoochie mama. Yeah. They do. It's true. It's like whenever I've been looking for a job, I would always go to the interview in a suit, you know, dressed really nice in a suit. And every job interview I've ever gone into a suit or wearing a suit, the boss would always act like, you know, why are you wearing a suit? He'd kind of laugh at you, but you got hired. You know, they'll kind of, oh, you didn't have to dress up, you know. It's a construction job. It's an electrician job. You know, why are you wearing a suit, man? You're way overdressed. And they'll kind of laugh at you and make fun of you about it a little bit. And other people be like, why are you wearing a suit to that interview? But you get the job. Yeah. You still get the job. Why? Because they look at this guy and they say, hey, he means business. He's dressed sharp. You know, he looks like he's not going to be a derelict, you know. And I'm not saying to go around wearing a suit. That's not what I'm saying at all. There are plenty of other great things you can wear and plenty of other styles of dress that are just fine. But it's just an illustration of the fact that people respect you when you dress nicely. Okay? Now, we shouldn't judge people on the way that they dress as far as, you know, how much money they spend and so forth. But soap and water is pretty cheap. You know, you can still wear clean clothes, even if it's not fancy clothes. And honestly, I don't own a fancy suit because every suit I have was bought at the thrift store. My most expensive suit is $15. And my cheapest suit is $5. Okay? That's pretty cheap. You know, and you know, I mean, that's not going to fancy places and getting fancy clothes. I'm not trying to be wealthy and fancy and everything, you know, but I can at least dress in a way where I'm not a slob. Because sometimes your appearance can say something about who you are a little bit when you're just a complete slob. Now, when you're a lady, that's exposing her body to the public, that says something about who you are on the inside. Because number one, you're committing sin. Because the Bible commands you to wear modest apparel, and the Bible commands you to be fully clothed. And so number one, you're committing sin by exposing your body. But number two, you're showing that basically you don't have a lot of respect for yourself. So you're just having to just put it all out there because that's all you are. You're just a body. You're not worth anything on the inside. You know, whereas when you dress in a modest apparel, you're saying, hey, I don't have to show off my body to the world because you know what? I am important enough on the inside where it's not just all about the way that I look. And I'm just using the way that I look to get people to look at me and get attention and so forth for my body. You see, a lady who dresses in a godly way has the beauty of holiness. And when you look at a woman and she's dressed in a classy way and a modest way and a way that covers her nakedness, you know, that is a beautiful thing. That is a classy thing. And you say, well, God just didn't bless me with beauty. But remember, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I can honestly stand here and tell you, I've never looked at a woman and just thought, this woman is hideous, she's ugly, she's disgusting, she's revolting, unless she had done it to herself. Because I've looked at some women and said, that woman's repulsive. But it was always they'd done it to themselves. It was always one who had just caked themselves in makeup. Or just modified to high heaven, you know, like they fell out of a fishing tackle box, you know, all over their face with all the metal and all the strange things. And you know, they maybe, you know, yeah, if you shave off your eyebrows and if you, you know, pierce yourself up all over your face, you know, I mean, earrings are great, but just this mutilation and the tattoos the makeup, the extreme makeup, you know, that's where I look at somebody and just say, you know what, that's just revolting.
Amen.
That woman is disgusting. Or like a woman who's like 70 and she's trying to look like she's like 25. That can look pretty disgusting. But you know, but if you look at a 70-year-old woman who's just 70 and that's just who she is, there's nothing ugly about that. It's the beauty of a 70-year-old woman. It's the beauty of being 70. It's the beauty of being 90. It's the beauty of being 50. It is what it is. The only time that I ever look at anything and say, you know what, that guy is just hideous or that woman is hideous, it's because they've done it to themselves. They've modified themselves. Because I honestly believe that the way that God made people, I wouldn't look at somebody who God made. Are you listening to me? I would not look at God's creation, untampered with, and say, that's ugly. Because everybody has their own beauty about them. You know, and obviously some are more handsome than others, and some are more beautiful than others. But honestly, I would never look at what God... Are you listening to me? I would never look at what God created and declare it to be ugly or hideous. And I don't think you should either. Because that's God. People are created by God. You should, oh, that person's so ugly. Now, yeah, if it's one of these people who've mutilated themselves, and if it's one of these people who've just, you know, plastic surgeried themselves. I mean, look, Michael Jackson? God didn't make that. That was not created by God. God created that little black boy that was saying ABC 123. God did not create that monster that he turned into. And I mean, literally, it used to, when I would see a picture of Michael Jackson, it would hurt my eyes to look at it. I mean, that's ugly. It's scary. I couldn't even wrap my mind around it. Sometimes I just struggled with it. It would give me nightmares. It's just like, ah! I couldn't even process it. Like, you know, sometimes you do stuff on your computer and your computer just freezes up. Finally, you just have to unplug it. Like, as the data of looking at Michael Jackson's face would enter my brain, that's what my brain would... It was just like, this doesn't compute. I mean, that's the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Skeletor.
That's putting it mildly. I mean, that's just the beginning. But you know what? God didn't make him that way. There's a guy who was a little bit obsessed with his appearance. And how did he end up trying to modify the way that he looked and keep changing it? You know, once you start tampering with it, once you start messing with it, you know, you can't put it back to normal sometimes. And honestly, listen to me now. When God creates something, he creates it perfect, okay? So I'm not going to look at God's creation and say it looks wrong. Now, here's the thing. There are certain attributes that look well together and other attributes that don't look well together. Now, I'm not an expert on this by any stretch of the imagination. I don't know anything about it. But I'm telling you right now, when God created you, there's a certain set of appearances that he put together. Like, for example, a certain eye color with a certain hair color, with a certain face, with a certain physique, with a certain look to them, right? And it's like when you start tampering with any part of it, you're getting away from that original balance and plan of what you were supposed to look like. You know, you dye your hair, now your hair isn't matching the rest of your face and your eyebrows and your eyelashes. It's just not all working together the way that it does when you're just natural, when you're just normal. You know, when you just look the way that God made you. You know, and honestly, I take it to an extreme, but honestly, I just want to be what God made me. And I just get up in the morning, I just walk out the door, and I'm just happy with it. I don't care. And you say, well, you're a man. You know, that's easy for you. But you know what? If you're a woman, it's the same exact thing. You know, and honestly, if you just keep yourself the way that God made you, you can know you're beautiful in his sight. Because he said that you are. And he made you that way. And I'm sure that you're beautiful in the sight of others. Don't go down this road of tampering and modifying and mutilating yourself. Because you want to look a certain way. And that can be done through plastic surgery or just you know, all these bizarre forms of makeup or whatever. Just be who you are. And it can also be done through like starving yourself or overeating or undereating. You know, just eat a healthy diet and don't be a glutton and don't eat ice cubes for breakfast and lunch and you'll come out just fine. And you know what? You might not be skinny. So what? You know, it is what it is. Some people, you look at them, and honestly, and I'm not saying it's bad to be skinny, because sometimes you look at people and you're just like, that person was born to be skinny. They're always going to be thin. And then some people you look at and you just look, that person will never be skinny. And if they did, it wouldn't make any sense. Because they were not born to be skinny. It's just not the way that they were built. You know, and I'm kind of a skinny person by nature. I'm not trying to be a football player or a bodybuilder. You know, I'm a slender guy. That's just who I am. And I'm okay with it. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, please just help us not to be caught up in the worldliness of obsessing over our appearances and worrying so much about the way we look. Help us to worry more about what we look in your eyes. Help us to worry more about our Bible reading and have we been soul winning this week, and did we pray, and did we keep our mind and thoughts pure? Did we love our neighbor as ourself? Help us to focus on these spiritual things that really matter the most. Help us to get up in the morning and read the Bible before we primp and preen and comb our hair and brush our teeth. Help us to start out with Bible. And start out with prayer and make those things the priority in our life. And help us to just be satisfied and content with what you've made us and not try to change the way we look or wish and covet someone else's appearance. Help us to just be happy with who we are. No matter how you made us, help us to just be satisfied with it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, let's sing one song before we go. You got a song for me, Matt? Who's got a song that they think ties in with the sermon? This is always a fun game we play on Sunday nights. Who's got a... What's that? How does that tie in?
This doesn't necessarily tie in with the song. I was just going to bring up the song. I know that it really is like the favorite verse. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, bring you to
me. Yeah, it's not in our hymnal, though. I know the song you're talking about. That's like a psalm put to music. Yeah, that is a good one. So it's not in our book, though. So. What's that? 294? All right. What do you got for me, Brother Sosi? Stepping in the light. All right. 294. Let's sing it out on that first verse. 294, stepping in the light. Thanks for being here tonight.